Welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thank you so much for sharing this time with us here on the program. We come your way every Sunday at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. We also come your way on Monday mornings at 1 a.m. We stream live at richarddugan.com. We also archive these programs at richarddugan.com, the radio show's page. And we also link to our guests. We'll be giving you our guests' website here shortly, and we encourage you to check out their information. As we tell you every week, it's very important that you investigate this. If it's something that is of curiosity to you, you're interested in it, it resonates with you, however you want to phrase that, then please, please go to the website and investigate it. You aren't going to really know whether or not it fits for you unless you do that. We can certainly give you a lot of information on this program as we talk with our guests, but there's nothing like going to the website or even ordering a copy of the book or the CD or getting more information or attending one of the seminars or workshops or gatherings, whatever the case might be, even a webinar, as they are called now. I get all kinds of emails from many of my guests wanting me to participate participate as a participant, not as a facilitator. And the problem is they're always when I'm working at the radio station. So it's a little difficult to do that. Today, we're going to have a returning guest. I'm very glad that she's coming back to join us here on the program. Susan Chomsky, DD, is our guest, and she is the author. One of the books we're going to focus on is Color Your Chakras, and interactive way to understand the energy centers of the body. She's also the author of Awaken Your Divine Intuition. And I want to welcome you back to our program. Thank you so much for joining us again today.
I'm just thrilled to be here with you today. I'm so excited.
I have to say that both of these subjects, if you will, intuition as well as the chakras, they are absolutely intertwined if we're willing to look deeply enough. Because a lot of times we don't always get a verbal or audible type of guidance from that still small voice. Sometimes it's an impression, a feeling, and what have you. And we need to learn to be open to those that come our way. Let's start talking for those people who are not. And I honestly would be a little hard pressed to find someone who wasn't at least vaguely familiar with what chakras are. And yet at the same time, I also know that a lot of people who are familiar with the seven basic chakra or energy centers of the body, they probably don't know that there are seven basic centers, but then there are dozens, if not hundreds of minor energy points on the body, as I found out through one in particular work called Joy's Way, a very, very interesting work as well. But talk to us about, from your experience, describe for the novice, if you will, what chakras are.
Mm-hmm. The word chakra is a Sanskrit word which means wheel. Now let's talk about what that wheel is. So you have this gross physical body that you inhabit, but you also have a subtle body. And that subtle body has several layers to it. One of the layers is called the vital layer or pranamaya kosha. Another one is the mental layer or the manamaya kosha. The other is the intellect ego layer, which is called the vijnanamaya kosha. And then there is the causal body, which is called the anandamaya kosha. So the pranamaya kosha, or vital body, that is where your chakras reside. The vital body consists of a network of conduits of life force energy. These conduits are called the nadi in the Indian tradition, or from India, and in the Chinese tradition, they're called meridians. So there are many of these nadis that run through your subtle body. And what is going through those conduits of energy is this, what's called prana in India, which means life force energy. In China, they call it qi, and in Japan, they call it ki. So this life force energy is going through your subtle body, giving life to your physical body. In the ancient scriptures of India, it is said that when prana is in the body, that is what is defined as life. And when prana leaves the body, that is what is defined as death. So as long as prana is in the body, It gives life, it gives movement, and it gives heat to the physical form. So that prana flowing through the body through these conduits of energy, many of these conduits of energy will intersect and form plexuses. And these are the hubs of these wheels, these chakras, which are wheels. So the hub is where many of these nadis intersect to form plexuses. And then the radiation of pranic energy, those are the spokes of the wheel. That's why they call it a wheel. So chakra just means wheel in Sanskrit.
Now, I like your book because it not only helps us to understand these energy centers. As a matter of fact, subtitle is An Interactive Way to Understand the Energy Centers of the Body. But it is also, if I may use the term, a coloring book. You could actually go in here because it's all black and white and has some amazing mandala-like, I call them drawings, if you will, or patterns, that you could go in and, you know, take a colored pencil or felt tip pen or something like that, and you could color all of this in. And that kind of is in my, if I may use the euphemism, it's in my wheelhouse, because I love to create these kinds of designs, if you will. Just take a piece of drawing paper, take a black pen or what have you, start making a one giant diagram, circle, multi-sided figure, and then I start drawing lines from point to point across it, and then I have all these different triangles and different shapes inside, and then I take the colored pens or felt tip pens or watercolor, and I just start filling them in, and it can actually be a fun experience as well as a great learning experience. You've also written The Power of Chakras, which leads me to the question, why is it important for us, even the novices, why is it important for us to know about the chakras? Why is that vital for us?
Well, the reality is that the medical profession doesn't give any credence to chakras because when they dissect a corpse, they cannot find a chakra or a nadi or prana or any of that. However, the reality is that the ancient wisdom of India, the ancient Ayurvedic medicine of India, and the ancient Chinese medicine believe in all of these because they know and realize that this subtle body, this vital body, is what is keeping your physical body alive. So they understand that the chakras are actually regulating the physical organs and the endocrine glands and all of that. It's all controlled by the chakra system. So the chakra system is extremely important, even if modern science doesn't give credence to it.
Well, it's fascinating to me that we are willing to accept the reality that the planetary bodies, and I speak specifically of the one that orbits our planet, and we call it the moon, which fascinatingly does not spin on its own axis as we would observe it, but we always see the same side. But it rotates around this planet, and it affects the waters, that it affects the tides. And yet, and we can't see that energy. We can't see that that pulling and pushing and so forth. And yet we're willing to accept that that exists. But then, as you say, within medicine, you know, but are those doorways slowly, even if they're slowly creaking open, are they slowly opening up in some realms?
They are creaking open, yes. There is more holistic medicine going on. You even find it in big institutions and also in hospitals. So, yes, it is creeping into the mainstream, little by little. And there's more and more of the holistic things that are being honored by the insurance system as well, you know, like chiropractic, for example, which was not honored earlier, decades ago.
I remember the struggle chiropractic went through. I was working actually for a station back in the early 80s, and I was helping to produce a program by a chiropractor who was really, really working hard to try to get it accepted, especially by the insurance companies, but also just by, you know, modern everyday people who were looking for relief. And so it is, and I'm today, I'm an advocate. Even though I have no personal experience, my wife has had great results from acupuncture, which is taking advantage of the various what are called meridians or the energy paths between the centers. Can we talk a little bit about that?
Yes, as I mentioned earlier, the nadi or meridians are the conduits of subtle energies through which prana flows, and they flow through specific pathways. And these have been mapped out by Ayurveda and also by Chinese medicine, and they understand these. They understand that stimulating various points, the acupuncture or acupressure points, either through the needles or through massage, through actually manipulation or pressing hard on those points, produces very profound results in the individual. So there's this ancient wisdom, and if we can understand it, we can make use of it, and it's very, very powerful. It works.
And I can attest to that fact, again, as I say, not firsthand, but my wife had, and of course we also have fought with the insurance company to get them to cover some $800 in acupuncture treatments for a shoulder that she was dealing with, and a scapula, I guess you call it the scapula, pain and so forth. Went in, and over the course of 3.5 to 4 months of maybe once every couple of weeks treatments, and this was 3 years ago now, she's not had any recurrence of that pain.
So that's very impressive.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of thing that you can expect from some of these alternative medical practices, which are very powerful.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you about this this aspect of accessing these different energy centers. Then we'll start with the seven basic from the root to the crown. Each one of them has its own vibration, its own color, and it also has a focal point within the physical body. A quick example, I was over at my parents' house many years ago. We were having Easter celebration. And in the back room, my mother was showing the kids, my sisters, this process of scanning the body. And I just happened to meander back there because I was curious as to what was going on, and they had me lay down. And they started to pass their hands up and down my body. And my oldest sister experienced an extremely warm or hot sensation in her hands over my throat. And I know that there is an energy center there. What would be the, I suppose you could say, advantage or benefit of accessing these energy centers, and how would we do that?
Mm-hmm. So in my book, The Power of Chakras, I have many, many, many exercises, traditional practices, modern practices, even affirmations and prayers and all kinds of things to help people to awaken and, shall we say, give greater energy to the various chakra centers that are in our subtle body. There are seven major chakras that you talked about: the root chakra, pelvic chakra, navel chakra, heart chakra, throat chakra, third eye chakra, and crown chakra. And then there are seven other energy centers, because when my publisher asked me to write the book, The Power of Chakras, I went back to the ancient scriptures of India, the tantric and Vedic scriptures, to find the most authentic information that I could find about the subject, which I did find in the scriptures, and I was able to compile all of that into this book, The Power of Chakras, which is sort of like an encyclopedia about the chakras. It's an amazingly detailed book about all these 14 chakras that are described in the ancient scriptures. The seven chakras that are not the major chakras, I guess you could call them minor chakras, most of those are in your head or above your head, but one is in the uvula in the back of the throat and one is right below the heart chakra. So there are 14 chakras, but the seven major chakras, as you mentioned, they are associated with specific organs and endocrine glands. They're also associated with days of the week and with planets and gemstones.
Okay. So when we put all of this together, and I've heard this aspect with the gemstones, you want to be able to find the right stones for the right center. And not that you would necessarily do harm to yourself if you didn't have exactly the right type of stone, but there are certain crystals or gemstones and what have you that are beneficial for what, cleansing and or sort of retuning the various centers. If you sort of have a out of balance chakra center.
Well, you could say that, but really, it's a lot more complicated than that because the chakra system is related to Vedic astrology or Hindu astrology, which is a very complicated and very accurate form of astrology.
Yes.
And so the gemstone prescriptions are based upon your horoscope, actually. So that would be, but those gemstones do happen to be associated with specific chakras as well, simply because the planets are associated with the chakras, and the planets are associated with, obviously, your horoscope.
Well, and of course, we have a good friend who's on our program on a regular basis, David Hawthorne, who is a Vedic astrologer, been studying it for over 25 years. And so I actually refer to Vedic astrology as when you get a reading, what you're being given is not predictions of your future. You're being given a roadmap with certain conditions along your path that you need to be prepared for, and that if you are able to acquire certain gemstones that are recommended, wear certain colors, which have a vibration and so on and so forth, that you can maybe minimize the conditions affecting you that you're going to be passing through along this path. I mean, the best example would be if you knew that by going 500 miles up the road, there was a rainstorm and you said, I don't need a raincoat or an umbrella or galoshes or anything. Well, guess what's going to happen when you get up there? And again, we're not talking about in a vehicle. You're let's say you're walking. You're going to get soaked to the skin. Well, if you don't have a problem with that, then by all means, go right ahead and don't do that. But if you do, and you don't heed that, and you're going to get soaking wet, and you're going to be mad. Why did this happen to me? And blah, 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 blah. So that's, to me, what Vedic astrology's benefits are, is it lets you know. And again, it's more in a general sense, but it's amazing. When we have people who are receiving readings, at the end of the reading, they go, wow, spot on. I can't believe how accurate. And it's referred to as a science. It's not some guesswork or psychic reading or intuitive anything.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Correct. It's extremely accurate. Vedic astrology, based upon where the constellations actually are, which means the sidereal system rather than the tropical system, which means where the constellations actually are, according to the precession of the equinoxes. So it's extremely accurate. And also what you were talking about, using specific methods to alleviate or to prevent certain things from happening. These are called upayas. And the upayas can be gemstones, they can be mantras, they can be yantras, they can be yajnas, which means ceremonies. So there's many different ways to alleviate the problems that are shown in the horoscope. So the chakra system is completely tied in with all of that, and that's the reason why there are associations with the days of the week and the planets. If you want, I could go through the days of the week and
we certainly can do
give
that.
You an idea.
I think the one thing that I'm perplexed on, and I think someone tried to explain it to me not too long ago, was this whole aspect of the and again, we're talking either zodiac, either astrological practice, east or west, they're still using the same 12 zodiac signs, if you will, or periods, but there's a 23 degree variance, if you will, from east to west. But the signs are still the same, and they're still in the same order. And what I found interesting was that as I was learning about, for example, as I was growing up and being taught about Christianity and so forth, and I would hear people say that we're going from the Piscean age to the Aquarian age. But when you look at the zodiac, it doesn't go, it goes the other direction. It goes Aquarian to Piscean. And I'm wait a minute, I don't understand. I thought that's kind of odd. But that's just amusing on my part. Let's talk about the 7 days of the week and in regards to this. Yes.
Yeah, well, I could answer that question.
Well, go ahead. Okay, go ahead and address that question.
It's
if you
a
would.
Little complicated. I just want to warn you. It's
okay.
Duly
warned.
Okay, so the reality is that the constellations are in certain parts of the sky, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's something called the precession of the equinoxes that has to do, astronomers believe it has to do with the wobble in the axis of the Earth. And that wobble, because of the wobble, the constellations have shifted. And they've shifted in relation to where the sun rises and the sun sets, because that's really our only actual frame of reference, because we're living on this Earth, is the sun going up and down, you know. So right now, on March 21st, which is the solar equinox, where it's 0 degrees Aries at sunrise on March 21st, that would be according to the tropical system. Well, it's no longer there. Yeah, Aries, that constellation Aries, is not at 0 degrees anymore. It was at 500 BC, but because of the precession of the equinoxes, it's no longer there. And the cycles of, so what happened is we are no longer in the Piscean, actually, we still are in the Piscean Age until about 2400 AD, by the way. Mm-hmm. People think we're going into the age of Aquarius, and it's not happening for quite a long time from now.
Another 200 years.
I actually looked at the ephemeris. I actually checked to see when the 0 degrees Pisces would be, 0 degrees Aquarius would be on that, would be on the horizon on the spring equinox, and it won't be until about 2400 AD.
Mm.
So they say the age of Aquarius is coming, but it's not coming for a long time. It's another 500 years or so.
Right.
But we're sort of on the cusp at the moment. So, yeah, okay, the age of Aquarius is on its way, but it's not here yet. So right now, Pisces is on the horizon. In other words, the constellation Pisces on the spring equinox, which is about March 21st, every year, Pisces is on the horizon, is no longer Aries. And it's going to be Aquarius next, because that's what happens. It's precession of the equinoxes. It goes backwards through the time.
Okay. So let's talk about the 7 days of the week. How are those? How do we take a look at those in reference to the chakra centers, the seven main chakra centers of the body?
Right. So we really need to start on Sunday, because that's the first day of the week. That's the day of the sun.
Okay.
So Sunday is the day of the sun, and because it is Sunday, it's associated with the solar plexus, which is our navel. And that is associated with the planet, the sun. It's associated with the pancreas, the abdominal organs, the fire elements, the sense of sight, and it's also associated with the gemstone, which is the ruby, the red ruby. Okay, so then we have Monday, moon day, the day of the moon. Monday, moon day. So the day of the moon, Monday, is associated with the pelvic chakra, and the reason is because the moon is in general associated with fecundity, fertilization, cycles of nature and all of that, the monthly cycles, so obviously the genitals, the plexus, the gonads, testes, the ovaries, the water elements, the sense of taste, that is all associated with that chakra, and that is Monday, moon day, and it's the moonstone and the pearl are the gemstones. Okay, then, so we got Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. In French, they call that Mardi. And I don't know if you know Spanish, but it's Mars Day also in Spanish. And Tuesday is the root chakra, which is at the base of the spine. It's associated with the organs of elimination, the adrenal gland. It's associated with the earth element, the sense of smell. And it is associated with the planet Mars, Mars Day. And that would be the red coral, would be the gemstone. Then we go to the next day, which is Mercredi in French. That was Mercury Day. Mercury Day is associated with the crown chakra, which is above the head, and that's associated with the hypothalamus, the pituitary gland, and it's associated with spiritual awakening. And it is associated with the green emerald, which is the gemstone for Mercury. Then the next chakra is the third eye chakra, which is right in the center of your head. That's the pineal gland. It's associated with the cavernous plexus. The third eye is seated there. The eye of higher wisdom, of intuition, of illumination, spiritual discernment, wisdom. And the planet is Jupiter, which is Jeudi. That is Thursday, Jupiter Day. Jeudi in French, Jupiter Day. So that would be the Jupiter in Sanskrit. The word Jupiter is guru. It means guru. That is actually the name of that planet in Sanskrit.
Hmm.
So the guru is our inner teacher. It is our intuition, our insight. It is seated right there in the third eye. That's where we get wisdom. We receive higher teachings from that higher self, which is also called Guru or Jupiter. And that's associated with the gemstone, the yellow topaz. Okay, so then the next one, the Friday, which is Vendredi in French, meaning Venus Day, Vendredi. That's the throat chakra, and the throat chakra is associated with the larynx, it's associated with the thyroid gland, ether element, and that is, the planet is Venus, the color is indigo, and it is associated with the diamond. The diamond is the gemstone. Then we come to the heart chakra, which is Saturn Day. So the planet is Saturn. It's at the heart and the cardiac plexus. It's associated with the thymus, the lungs, the heart, the air element, the sense of touch. And the heart chakra is associated with the, like I said, the planet Saturn. The gemstone for that is the blue sapphire. So those are all the days of the week that the seven major chakras are associated with. And as you were describing the chakra, the book called Color Your Chakras, which is actually a coloring book, on the left-hand page of each of the double pages in this book, on the left-hand page, you're going to find the explanation of what it is that is being taught about the various details about the chakras, and then on the right-hand page, you're going to find the illustration that you can color. And you can either use the colors that I suggest on the left-hand page, or you can make up your own colors. But it's really fun to color your chakras, because then what happens is you learn about them, and also you imbibe the energies of the chakras as it's doing that. It's like you're putting your attention on the chakras, so you're awakening and they're becoming more energetic.
I think that this would be a great teaching tool. There's no question about it for people who are really wanting to understand these energy centers and how they affect us. And I would think that it would also be possible for an individual to be able to glean enough just from this book alone and the information as well as the drawings and obviously having the fun coloring to be able to have a very positive effect on not only their health, but the health and well-being of the folks, the people that are around them. One of the interesting things that I've observed as I have moved through this life, Dr. Chomsky, is that there are these, they call them wise sayings. I don't know if they're that wise, but nonetheless, that I have found to be false. One in particular is that you can't change other people. And what I have found through my own experience, but just through logic, is that you actually can change other people. When you change yourself, people are going to respond to you either in a positive or negative way. They're either going to want to hang around with you, or they're going to want to get as far away from you as is possible. That's a change. And I think it's a good thing. And I think that as we go through our lives, we want to surround ourselves with people who are, if not encouraging and supporting our every move, if you will, or our path, they at least aren't tearing us down. At least they're not, they're saying, hey, that seems interesting. Not my cup of tea, but hey, you seem to be benefiting a great deal from that. And
right.
you just never know what's going to happen next.
Yeah, I fully agree with what you're saying. We really have a profound effect upon not only ourselves, but upon everyone and everything around us through our every thought, our every word, and our every deed. We have an incredible amount of power, and we are either contributing to world peace and harmony and love and joy, or we are tearing that down. We are not contributing to that. We're doing the opposite when we are filled with anger, resentment, all kinds of negative emotions that we're radiating into the atmosphere. So we have a profound effect not only on ourselves, but especially the people near us, but then it radiates out to everyone and everything in this universe, because our thoughts, words, and actions do not end at the edge of our body or the edge of our energy field. It travels out into the universe to affect everyone and everything. It's just like throwing a pebble into a pond, that the radiations of the concentric circles go out from that place where you threw the pebble in and continues to go out to the edge of the pond, and then it comes back exactly. Once it hits the edge, outer edge, it comes back exactly as it is. So you're affecting yourself, but you're also affecting everyone and everything else.
Well, and to that end, it seems to me that it would behoove each one of us to be extremely careful about not only the people that we surround ourselves with, but about the things that we do and say and take into our bodies, not just through our mouths as far as eating and drinking, but also through our eyes and our ears and our other senses, because that is going to have a major impact on who and what we are. It's going to affect those chakra centers. I know that a lot of people are trying. I remember 15 or 20 years ago, people trying to move away from, for example, these high tension power lines that they would put up to obviously generate electricity and transmit it from one place to another. And people were finding that they were having these adverse effects to it. Well, you have a different kind of energy that's flowing above your head and radiating out that impacts who and what you are and your own personal vibration. So I think that people need to take that into consideration when they take into consideration where they're going to live and who they're going to befriend and who they're going to spend the rest of their lives with. And if you watch television or read books or listen to music, what is it that you're taking in that regard? Is that supporting you, and is it sort of helping your vibration to resonate more, or is it diminishing that? Because we see people walking around today who, the big craze on television and movies is zombies. We got them. They're walking around. But they're not going, they're not making that noise, and they're not looking real ugly. They're pretty people, but, they're just not... They're not awake, and we can make a difference to those people who, as I use the term, are not awake. I'm certainly awake here. I want to come back when we come back from the break. I would like to talk about more of this, but I want to throw into the mix this whole subject of intuition, because that's a real big topic for me. I love talking about it. And we're going to do that as we continue talking with Dr. Susan Shumsky. She has a website, which is Dr. Susan, D-R-S-U-S-A-N, drsusan.org. And the book we're talking about, one of them anyway, is Color Your Chakras, an interactive way to understand the energy centers of the body. We're going to come back and we're going to throw that into the mix, Awakening Your Divine Intuition. As we do that here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, I'm Richard Dugan. Stay tuned.
Tell me your story.
And welcome back to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we're talking with Dr. Susan Shumsky. Website is drsusan.org, drsusan.org, and you can get all kinds of good information from her website. Connect with her via email and see what she has to offer, as well as, you know, you can go to richarddugan.com, the radio show's page, listen to this interview as many times as you like. The one thing that is really enjoyable about these interviews, Dr. Shumsky, is the fact that when the interview airs on radio, people are only going to get about 50 minutes of the interview. But you and I, we continue talking on beyond that. We may go an hour 5, 10, 15 minutes, and there may be some really crucial information that might help somebody. So you'll need to go to the website and you'll need to listen to the entire interview all the way to the end and enjoy that. I hope that you will take advantage of that. Intuition. How can we be sure? This is something that's been brought to my attention many times when I talk about intuition. How can we be sure, 100% satisfaction guaranteed, that we're listening to, how do I put this, the right voice, the higher self, the divine, and not to voices that are telling us to do things that, you know, we've seen people go out and do, and it's not really productive and supportive of our social structure or civilization or humanity in general?
Right. I'm really glad you brought up that point, because there's four basic places you might be getting your messages from: the spiritual world, the mental world, the astral world, or the environmental world. When I say that, any type of spiritual practice you're doing, whether you're trying to get intuition or you're going into meditation, you're exploring the inner realm, you're going to go to one of those places. So the spiritual realm, the first realm that I mentioned, that is the realm where you're going to find deities, angels, archangels, beings of light, your higher self. You're going to find also your beloved deceased loved ones who have gone into the light. All of these beings are in the spiritual world. People call it heaven, the heavenly realm, celestial realm, whatever you want to call it. That would be the spiritual plane. However, there are three other planes of existence that you might inadvertently tap into and think that you're receiving true messages from the divine voice or from the voice of your higher self, when in fact you're not. So one would be the mental world. The mental world is basically your own subconscious mind. Tapping into that would be tapping into your own belief systems, things you've been brainwashed to believe since you were a child, things that you learned along the way, things, habits, conditions, ideas, constructs, concepts that are not true, that are erroneous. And tapping into that is not really going to give you true divine guidance. It's not going to be true intuitive impressions. It's not going to be true insight into that which you need to know. So that's the mental world. And then there's the astral world. And the astral world is populated by various denizens, mostly beings who are lost and confused, people who did not go into the divine light after death, people who are stuck or stranded in the astral plane, could be mischievous beings, could be demonic beings, could be beings who do not have your best intentions at heart. They're beings who are faker spirits, pretending to be something that they're not, taking on, for example, a biblical-sounding name to impress you, or saying other kinds of manipulative things to impress you. They're very manipulative, some of these beings, and they really, their intentions are not for your highest good. So that would be the astral world. And then the fourth place you might be getting messages from is the environmental world. And that would be tapping into the collective consciousness of the human race, which is not necessarily a good thing because there's an astral cloud kind of hanging around the earth, hanging over the earth, which contains all of the erroneous beliefs, habits, conditions, and ideas collectively. It's sort of a collection of all of our subconscious minds put together in one big pot, and you're going to find a lot of erroneous ideas, beliefs that are not for your highest good, that are not the truth. So you want to, if you are going to receive inner guidance, if you're going to develop your clairvoyant, clairaudient, and clairsentient abilities and tap into what is highest wisdom, then you're going to want to only connect with the spiritual world and not these other realms. Unfortunately, many of the channeled books, I think probably most of them, are from the mental world. There are some from the spiritual world, don't get me wrong, but most of them are from the mental world, and then there are some, unfortunately, from the astral world. And unfortunately, some of the mediums and channelers are not tapping into the spiritual plane. They're jumping into other planes, and some of them delude themselves into thinking that they're really in touch with the divine realm when they are not. So that's why I have developed, in a few of my books, I've developed a system called the 10 Tests of Spiritual Discernment. So the 10 tests help you to be able to tell the difference. Who or what is giving you the message? Is it your higher self? Is it your ego? Is it your wishful thinking? Who or what is actually talking to you and giving you this guidance, giving you these impressions? So it's really important that you learn discernment. Otherwise, you could really go wrong, much more than wrong. It can be actually really dangerous if you get an astral attachment or get possessed or oppressed by one of these faker spirits or entities from the astral world. So that's why it's really essential, in my opinion, to learn the 10 tests that I have that I've managed to create so that you can use them when you are receiving intuitive impressions, and they work.
Well, talk to us about some of these steps, these safeguards, so to speak.
Yeah. So there are 10 tests, and really all 10 must be there. Not just one test, not just two tests, all 10 tests. It takes me about 3 hours to teach the 10 tests, which I don't have time to do right now.
Mm-hmm.
One of them would be the signal or the sign. The signal is a sign that tells you who or what you're in contact with. Every being that you connect with will give you a signal if you ask for one. And the signal will come to you in one of six ways: seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, feeling, or getting a body movement, an involuntary body movement. So when you're in contact with a specific divine being, a specific deity or ascended master, angel, archangel, then you can identify that being with that same signal each time you connect with that divine being. They will give you that same signal so that you'll know that you are truly in contact with that divine being. So, for example, let's say the being is Mother Mary. Give an example. So Mother Mary, she would give you a signal or a sign, and that sign will come to you either as seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, feeling, or getting an involuntary body movement. She'll give you a signal. That signal will not change throughout your life. It will always be your same signal. So let me just describe what I mean by a signal. Sometime in your life, you have experienced that you were spiritually uplifted. You felt that you were moved or touched by spirit. Perhaps you were watching a beautiful sunrise, or you were at a museum, you saw a beautiful painting that really moved or touched your soul. Maybe you were listening to music that really moved and touched you. You were in church, the pastor, something they said really moved you. You were volunteering, helping someone in need, and the conversation you had with that person, it really moved or touched your soul. All right, so at the peak point of that experience, you felt something. It went through your body, goosebumps, your hair stood on end. Something happened that indicated to you that you were in touch with spirit, with a capital S. So that would be one of your signals, and you can identify that signal as being one of your signals. You can ask what is the being or the name of the being that is associated with that particular signal. Let's say you got that signal, which would be actually remember I was saying seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, feeling, or getting an involuntary movement. So that's what I just described, like goosebumps and that. That's actually a kinesthetic signal, the feeling signal. But you can see, hear, for example, you could see a light in a particular color in a particular place in one of your energy centers or somewhere in your visual field or somewhere in your body. You see a color or you see a, for example, a symbol such as a rose, a tree, a mountain, a sunrise. You're seeing that with your inner eye, or you're seeing a face of a divine being, or a whole body of a divine being, a shimmering angel, someone you recognize, maybe in the case of Mother Mary, maybe you even see Mother Mary, seeing her standing. So these would be visual signals. And like I said, there's six different ways to get a signal. That's just one of the ways.
Now, I've heard it said, too, and this is from different people, that, you know, now, on the one hand, it sounds a little complicated, and maybe in one sense that it is, but I've also heard that if I was to just say, you know, are you of God, you know, I that seems nice and simple, pretty easy, but it sounds like... You really do have to make sure that you're getting authentic, shall we say, authentic information. And so, yeah, I would tend to agree that, you know, you kind of need to make sure that, you know, all your ducks are in a row, so to speak, because you open yourself up to a lot of strange stuff. I mean, you were talking about all these different minds, and it made me think of that phrase, the monkey mind, that people have heard many, many times. It's like, my goodness, you got to weed through a lot of quite a crowd, almost the kind of crowd that you'd find on the convention floor of a party's convention. Exactly.
Expo.
Or an expo, yeah, for that matter. Exactly. So you really do need to be careful. And I would encourage people to investigate this. Where are these? Now, you say you teach these 10 steps, but are these 10
right.
steps at all available?
They're in my book.
They're in
my book. Okay, so the books where you can learn about the 10 tests, and I really, really recommend anybody who wants to develop their intuition, who wants to have experiences of their higher self, who wants to meditate, who wants to be led by spirit in everyday life, who wants to receive intuitive impressions, become a psychic, or become your own psychic, that you definitely learn these 10 tests and that you use them and that all 10 tests would be there when you're testing the authenticity of these inner voices. So the books that they're in are, number one, Divine Revelation is the name of one of the books. Another book is called How to Hear the Voice of God. Another book is called Awaken Your Divine Intuition. And you're going to find a lot of information in these books about using the 10 tests. The book Awaken Your Divine Intuition is the latest book that has the 10 tests in it. Also, my book Awaken Your Third Eye has the 10 tests in it as well. But Awaken Your Divine Intuition goes into it for at least two or three chapters, mm-hmm. where you're really learning deeply how to discern, how to distinguish. And I really, really urge you to study these 10 tests. I cannot teach them in 5 minutes on a radio show. I just can't. It takes too long to do it. But I just touched very, very briefly on one of the tests. I didn't even explain that test because it takes too long to even explain that one test. So, you know, I just don't have time to do it on the radio.
Well, go to drsusan.org. drsusan.org. That's drsusan.org. And you can pick up one of these books. I'm sure also through Amazon as well. And learn about this. Discernment scares a lot of people, I think, because it seems like a lot of trouble to go through, so I just won't do it. But here's the interesting kicker. If you are getting impressions or what have you, or voices or guidance and what have you, and I always tell people that if you're going to be listening to the still small voice, but you're not going to follow the guidance, then why listen? Mm-hmm. What's the point? You know, I mean, you know, it's like you bought a map of the United States because you thought you might, you know, be taking a trip to New York from California, but then you never go. Well, what was the point of buying the map? I mean, dreaming is a good thing. Dreaming, that's why, wonderful, and we're all about that. But again, that's one of the things that, that I had to chuckle about myself because I was in a program many years ago, and one of the things they had us do was write down on a big piece of construction paper a statement and of a promise that we were going to make to ourselves. And mine, and I have no problem sharing this, was that I was not only going to listen to, but I was going to follow the promptings. Now, I can't say that I'm 100%. I'm going to say 75, 80%, 90%. Because again, as like you just said, there are so many other voices that are pulling us, our mental and emotional bodies as well, that are pulling us in all these different directions. And we think, oh, I know better. I have to say there's one element, and I'd love for you to explain this, that is, it's got to be troubling, primarily for guys who are in a relationship with a woman who, a person who has this wonderful insight, this intuition that is almost always on and almost always accurate or correct, if you will. And the guy is going, well, wait a minute, why can't I get these messages? Why do I have to follow your, you know, guidance? You know, why am I not getting this information? You're always telling me what to do, in a manner of speaking. And so, and you know what? Usually the information is right on, and if the guy would just follow it and let go of his ego, all is well. But a guy doesn't like to do that. His ego gets in the way. It's bruised a little bit because here's some. Do you see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
How does someone, and again, it doesn't always have to be a guy because I'm sure women go through this too, when somebody comes along and says, you know, I think it would be better if you didn't step so close to the edge of that cliff. So I want to stand here. Leave me, you know. What is your best advice and encouragement to those of us, myself included, who struggle with that from time to time? I know she's right, but what about my voices?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't really have any advice about that, simply because we have to live our own life and follow our own pathway. And if we're not ready to let go, so to speak, or ready to be open to receiving intuition, either from within ourselves or from somebody who's really good at it, maybe a psychic or a medium or, you know, somebody who really could give us some good advice if they're very accurate, if they're really good, then I don't know what to say to that person. They, you know, you get faith through experience. The reality is that faith comes from experience. When spirit says something to you, and you follow that, and then a miracle happens, then you get a piece of faith. And then it happens again, second time, then you get a bigger piece of faith. And then it happens like over and over and over, then you have a lot of faith in that still small voice because you know it's true, because it keeps coming true in really miraculous, uncanny ways. These things happen. And then you realize, oh my gosh, I really need to listen to this inner voice. I need to follow this guidance because look at what's happening when I do. And by the way, look at what happens when I don't. Look at what happens when I didn't follow that inner voice and how much trouble I got into.
Yeah.
It comes from experience. Faith comes from experience. And if you haven't had the experience, then you don't have the faith. People believe in things that work for them.
That's a good point. So you can't force people like me.
No. Can't force faith on anybody.
Yeah.
I call it faith because really that's what it is. It's about trusting something that you don't necessarily see yet with your eyes, but it's getting the prompting, and you know, and then if you go in the direction of the prompting, miracles happen. It's pretty cool. It's cool to live in miracles.
Yeah, it really is. And again, when I do listen and I do follow, setting my ego aside and saying, you know, it isn't so much that, you know, she is trying to control. through her. She's being used as a conduit.
Yeah.
Then it kind of it takes that whole element out, and you don't have to worry about the ego getting bruised or anything like that. And I think maybe that's a good way to approach it. At least that's the best thing I can think of in that regard.
Well, actually, that was pretty good, because in reality, it isn't that person. It isn't a male-female thing. It's a thing about spirit. Are you willing to submit to spirit? Are you willing to allow God to be your guide? Is really the reality of the question. And very few people are, by the way.
Well, that's true. That is,
ego is very strong.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is indeed. And again, that's another one of those voices that, you know, we struggle with. You know, that's our ego voice. And we have to learn to. That's one of the things that I've heard people say that, like, for example, when you go to meditate. I remember when meditation used to come on, was just coming on the scene and becoming part of the mainstream, that you would hear people say that you want to. So to speak, quiet your mind. You want to, you know, shut it off. Tell it to just shut up over there, you know, and this kind of thing. And as time has gone on, that's kind of been modified, saying, you know, your mind is part of who and what you are. And mm-hmm. you actually need to embrace it in that process of meditation and just listen to and or watch, if you will, on your inner screen. Just watch things go by. Don't get stuck on. Don't focus on any one thing. Just let things go by. Just watch them like you're going down the roadway. On both sides of the street, you see the trees and the other cars and the houses and the parks and the kids and this and that and the other. Just watch them go by. Just let them go by. You know, don't put any judgment mm-hmm. on them. Get out of the way. I don't want to see you. No, just let you know. Just be neutral about it. Be the observer.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you want to go into a very deep, quiet, meditative state, then that's exactly the attitude that you need to have. Yes, yeah. That's correct.
Before we wrap up the program, I want to first of all invite you, if you ever find yourself here in the Santa Barbara area, we would love to have you in studio to continue these conversations. It's fascinating. I mean, you've done so much work in these various areas, energy work and the energy centers of the body, and again, this whole aspect of intuition that we've been talking about. And we would love to have you in studio. So if you ever do find yourself out here in Santa Barbara, please let us know.
Absolutely. Thank you for inviting me.
And before we wrap things up here, I have three final questions for you. And it's been so long since you've been on the program. I don't think I've ever asked you these questions. First question is, who is Susan Shumsky?
Well, Susan Shumsky ultimately is the name given to this body, which is temporarily inhabiting the earth, and which is the shell for the divine light being that is dwelling inside of it. That's the ultimate answer to that question.
What is it that you hope to or want to achieve through the work that you are doing now?
Well, my main purpose and destiny is to help people to realize who they really are, to realize their higher self, to realize God within them, and ultimately to fulfill their divine purpose and destiny. So that's why I'm here on Earth, is to help people to do that. And so I'm doing it. I'm doing it through the books that I write, mainly. And I also do it through some other enterprises that I'm involved with, which basically, one of them is Divine Travels, divinetravels.com, which is plural on the travels, divinetravels.com. And on that website, you'll see various tours to sacred destinations and retreats and cruise ship seminars. There's always something new that's being posted on that website, because there's always new events coming up. So it's a good idea to subscribe there and check that out. So, yeah, all of that, everything that I do from the moment I get up in the morning till I go to bed at night, is I'm following my inner guidance as much as I can, as well as I can. It's very challenging to do that, by the way, so it's not easy to do that, but I do the best I can with my human limitations. And also just trying my best to help people to have these experiences of the higher self, these experiences that will uplift them and change them in really positive, powerful ways.
And finally, you've sort of answered this question, but I'll ask the question directly. What is your life's purpose?
Well, yeah, I did answer the question. My life's purpose is to help people to realize who they really are, to realize God within them, and to experience the ultimate reality of their being, to discover what their higher self really is, and experience that directly. Everything that I teach is experiential. I'm not into intellectualization, although I'm very good at very broad intellectual explanations in my books and so on, especially the book of The Power of Chakras, which is my most detailed intellectual kind of book. But in general, books like Awaken Your Divine Intuition, that's just basically written like a seminar. It's an experiential seminar to help you to break through and experience your higher self directly through the technique that I am proposing, and also through guided meditation MP3 that is in the book that you would go to the internet and listen to or download, whatever you want to do with that. And it will help you to have the direct experience. I'm all about direct experience.
Well, I want to thank you again for joining us on the program. Always an education here on Tell Me Your Story when we have you on the program. And we do look forward to having you back again, whether it be over the phone or on Skype or in studio. And again, thank you so much for sharing of yourself and what it is that you do. And I encourage people to go to drsusan.org. That's drsusan.org. Thank you so much.
And thank you for inviting me. It was a great pleasure to be on your show.
I'm Richard Dugan. This has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We're giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next time, love to Lal.